Tonight, Pretty Late favorite John Tatey rides sidecar for the first hour. Then later, we'll talk to some of the great people from the National Runaway Safe Line. And finally, comedian Kevin Naughton closes the show. All that and Brandon C. Price added in right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Wednesday. It is Wednesday, October 5th. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is John Tatey of the AV Club.
Hi.
I don't know which way you came downtown. We are, of course, on Michigan Avenue. I came up Hubbard, and this is going to... I saw a wonderful collection of beautiful people of all different types, like up and down Hubbard, going to different restaurants and different bars. And it's a wonder. It's a beautiful night out, and everyone just, like, in different sort of levels of being dressed up, you know, whether... There were four women wearing, like, long pants, suits with like halter tops, looking stunning, and other girls like just in, you know, jeans and t-shirts and gym shoes. Look, I mean, everyone. Am I just in a good mood that everyone looks good to me right now?
I think that the city is in a good mood because, well, you got the baseball playoffs about to start, and I mean, in Chicago, I feel, having been here for a few years now, I feel like a warm fall evening really brings out everybody's best spirits because we treasure it at this point in the year, right? We know there's not many left.
Yes.
And we're savoring it. I had a nice drive down here, opened up the windows and the sunroof, and it was just, I'm not going to be able to do that for very long.
It's really gorgeous. I ate outside tonight at a restaurant.
Alfresco.
Alfresco at Scotty's up in Highwood. It was great. Oh. It was very good. There were a couple of mosquitoes.
Where is Highwood?
Highwood is near Highland Park, so it's up near the North Shore. It is a neighborhood that is kind of in the pocket of a lot of wealthy suburbs. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got Highland Park and Winnetka, Wilmette are kind of out there. But Highwood is where a lot of the people who serve the industry in those suburbs live. So it's kind of this working class neighborhood. And there's a strip of great restaurants. And I went up there. They are setting up for the Highwood Pumpkin Festival, where there's going to be just hundreds of thousands. I think I want to say hundreds of thousands of pumpkins. They already have scaffolding up. They were carving the pumpkins.
Hundreds of thousands of pumpkins? Carved pumpkins?
Carved pumpkins. They're carving them now. They started on Sunday.
Are they trying to set the world record?
Yes, they are. As a matter of fact, they're scaffolding all up and down the streets. They already have the carnival ready to go. There's a Ferris wheel and one of those. You remember the zipper ride?
Oh, yeah, sure.
The carts all spin around and then it goes.
That's a scary one.
That is.
That's a vomit-inducing ride for sure.
Well, I was 9 or 10 years old and a friend of mine, Barb, let's call her Barb because that was her name, Barbara.
Yeah.
I don't remember why or how we ended up having the guy in charge, the operator of the machine, let us keep...
The carnival professional.
Let us keep riding. And like, I know. And we were just spinning and having fun. I don't think I've been the same since.
Do you think your brain was scrambled?
I suspect there may have been a little bit of jostling. But that was what I thought of when I can't go on spinning rides anymore. We've talked about this on the show. I can do roller coasters,
but too.
I can't do spinny tilt-a-whirls, anything like that.
I used to love those, I can't handle them anymore.
Nope, not anymore.
But I'm like you. I can do a roller coaster.
Well, I'm hoping that...
I heard an interesting...
Sorry to interrupt, but
I heard this fascinating fact... or finding, I guess you'd call it, about roller coasters. I forget where I read this, but scientists have discovered that roller coasters can help dislodge kidney stones.
What?
So if you're a man who's having trouble passing a kidney stone, ride a roller coaster a couple times. They brought people on and they simulated kidney stones with, I don't know what contraption they have to do this.
How do you stumble on something like that as a legitimate theory of treatment?
Some fringe science right there. But.
And there are some roller coasters that jostle and there are some that are very smooth. Like your Raging Bull, I'm guessing, isn't going to dislodge it, but maybe your Viper. It doesn't have to go upside down. So you have a lot of questions here, John.
They anticipated those questions and I believe... I wonder if I can find this during one of the breaks, but I believe they said that the side-to-side motion was the most important.
The whippiness?
Whipping.
Is that a phrase in scientific research? Whippiness? 312-981-7200. It's Googling with John Tatey. Let's find this article.
Or is it a dream that I had? I'm not sure.
I don't know. There might be a gift card with the most interesting phone call when it comes to weird treatments for what ails you. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is the AV Club's John Tatey, and he was telling us that he read somewhere that doctors have discovered some roller coasters might dislodge kidney stones.
Yeah, and it turns out it was in the New York Times. It was legitimate.
It was legitimate.
Well, legitimate at the time.
And 630 says it's legit science. And have you seen the lines at Six Flags? Is there a correlation? Everyone is in line trying to cure kidney stones?
The miracle cure.
The miracle cure. There you go. So, yes, they say, and you were mentioning that this doctor started backtracking, I guess,
well,
trying
you
to like
asked,
trace it.
How do you get onto this study? And according to the Times piece, the doctor, patients were coming through the doctor's office saying they had passed kidney stones after visiting an amusement park. So I guess it was just happening in the field, and he decided, as any good scientist should, to look into it a little more closely.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I never understand, like, the old wives' tales of treating things, too. Because, I mean, like, roller coaster sounds like one of those things.
Seems
where,
like nonsense. Yeah.
You know, it also seems kind of like when you're trying to get pregnant and people tell you to, like, make love with the lights on, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, how does
exactly.
that make any difference? But I was telling somebody that years ago I had a wart on the bottom of my foot.
Yeah.
You know, which is not pleasant, and but I have no shame in telling people that happened. And my doctor told me to put duct tape on it.
Oh yeah, I've heard that.
And I was like, why don't you go ahead and just freeze that off? Because I'm not buying your little weird science.
I think the duct tape solution, from what I've read, is mildly effective, but not.
Right.
Not a.
It's just weird when having your
it's
doctor.
Not like a roller coaster, a legitimate medical cure.
Ride the roller coaster, Esmeralda. Have you ever been given old wives' tales sort of cures for things like?
Well, you know, there's always the put, I don't know how this even works scientifically at all, put vapor rub on your feet when you have a cold.
And socks, right,
yeah.
To keep it in there? Yeah, it's supposed to, like, help you sweat out. Like the,
I guess.
That's what I'd heard, too. Onions
no
are
idea.
Supposed to be a big thing, too, for curing things. Like cutting open an onion and putting it in the room, like if you have like a respiratory problem.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if that has any.
Garlic, I know, has some
just eat it.
Healing properties.
Just eat that garlic. Ugh, I know.
That gives me the shivers.
My husband really hated, there was a, there's a book about like there's, you know, how to lower your cholesterol with mm-hmm. just through, you know, diet. And one of them was eating kind of a lot of garlic and my husband just stayed away from, and it lowered my cholesterol. It was beans.
Oh, you were doing this.
I was doing this. I
garlic
had,
and beans.
I had,
wow.
Had garlic,
yeah,
beans, almonds. There were a lot of different things that I had. Oatmeal, a lot of oatmeal. Not all together, not at the same time, but yeah, I did that. My husband was not pleased.
You weren't eating garlic oatmeal, though? That's
no,
right.
I was not. That was it was not. I would put almond butter in my oatmeal, yes. Hmm. What? You don't like oatmeal?
Well, I don't like almond butter. Sure, I like oatmeal.
Really? It's the almond butter that makes you
it's
wince?
The almond butter plus the oatmeal. That
plus,
gives
oh, I see.
Me, yeah.
Oh, it sweetens it up.
Does it?
Yeah.
It just seems like it would make it all pasty.
What do you put in your oatmeal? Oatmeal is pasty. That's all it is
yeah,
paste.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're
more pasty, increasing
pastier.
The pastiness. I could see that. You
maple
know,
syrup, brown sugar.
That's
those
good.
Things are good.
Those
in,
are those are
oatmeal.
Very good things. You're right about
strawberries.
That.
Strawberries.
You no, know, I don't put strawberries in my oatmeal.
Bananas.
How about all of that, but no oatmeal?
There you
not
go.
Not a fan of the oatmeal? I know.
I've never liked oatmeal.
I know. I eat it because it really did help lower my cholesterol.
Yeah, no, I think it looks, I mean, it kind of looks delicious. And I hear of overnight oatmeal, it's creamy. And it's like, oh, that sounds so nice. And then I eat it and I'm like, oh, no.
I always think of it as being kind of, it's porridge, you know? I feel like I'm in a Laura
really
Ingalls
no,
book or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ma's making
right.
me a big pot of porridge. Like cream of wheat. I never, is that basically grits? Is it, what is cream of wheat? Oh, I guess it's cream of wheat.
Yeah.
It's like, what's grits?
Like
that's the middle
goo.
Of the corn, right? They're
I
all
never
goo.
I thought about all these different gruel, all these different.
These different things.
What is this class of food that we're talking about?
It's oats like, and grains that are just
breakfast
added
paste.
With water.
Foods?
Yeah,
you
breakfast
could,
paste.
You know, you can add, you could add garlic to your oatmeal. You could do a savory oatmeal.
I can't do that.
You would,
that
I mean, it would
terrible.
Have to be completely savory.
Yeah. Well, then you put
what,
some
you
Italian sausage.
Now?
Yeah, you put some breakfast sausage
right,
in there.
But yep. I think you'd probably maybe some stock instead of milk or just water.
You don't even like oatmeal, Esmeralda. Stop trying to dress it up.
If I, but I like other grains, rices and things.
Right.
So it's probably the same idea.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think
okay.
that oats are in the. I mean, because you can't make a. Well, I guess you can make a rice cookie, but you make an oatmeal cookie. There's. It,
oh, yeah.
Do you like oatmeal
What's
cookies?
Better than an oatmeal cookie, yeah.
That's a good thing. Although they're disappointing when you think you're having a chocolate chip cookie.
And it.
It's
they?
A raisin. No, because they're raisin.
If it's an
oatmeal
raisin cookie, definitely. If yeah. it's an oatmeal chocolate chip cookie, like they got a Potbelly. I like the ones they got a Potbelly.
I haven't tried those.
They're
See,
good. They say they sell you a little bag of with a dozen mini ones, and boy, that'll get you through a bad night. Let me tell you what.
Really?
Or like you've had a bad day, go buy one of those. You got a nice evening ahead of you.
Go get yourself an oatmeal cookie from Potbelly's.
A pack of 12.
Pack of 12?
Mini ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not judging. I didn't mean to laugh
You're
at you like that.
Judging a little bit.
It was a little bit of judging. I was like, I just see you like standing at the counter and they're like taking the whole like shelf and giving you all these cookies.
Dumping it in supermarket sweep style, just dumping it into the cart.
Speaking of which, I think I saw this on a friend of the show's Dr. Susanna Flores's Facebook page that they have cinnamon bun flavored Oreo cookies. Can we just leave some things alone?
No, Oreo cookies people are out of control.
Them and the potato chip people are out of control.
Potato chips, too.
They're insane. As poor as Marilda had to be subjected to, like, gyro potato chips. Didn't you have to eat some of those last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I ate some, just but out of my own free will.
Oh, I know, but still. It seems
yeah, no,
torturous.
Some of them were not good.
If you go to the sandwich shop now, they got tzatziki potato chips. Those are actually pretty good.
Are they really?
Chicken tikka masala potato chips, not good.
I would imagine not.
There's a Brazilian one, too.
Oh, dear. Just potato chips.
Be like steak or something.
Here's what you do. If you want it to taste like something else, dip your chip in it. Dip your chip in tzatziki sauce.
It's too much hassle for people. I just want it all straight out of the bag.
I want essence of other things I can't actually have right now.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's well put, though. That's what potato chips are now. They're a vessel for the essence of other things.
Yeah.
They've discovered, and Oreos for some ungodly reason.
Let a chip be a chip. Maybe some barbecue powder. Maybe some cheddar.
Sour cream and onion chip. That's all a classic. Right. Can't argue with that.
See, but they opened that, and that door was open for a long time. When did this?
There used to be a standard set of like half a dozen potato chip flavors: salt and vinegar,
sour cream
and onion, barbecue,
dill. Have you had dill? I like dill.
Dill's
I like the
good.
Lime.
Sure.
Yes, lime's good. Although,
now we have stepped over the line into madness.
See, and this is where it happened. I think it was the salt and vinegar, the dill, the lime. Because my mother, when I was young, my mom would have a bowl of potato chips and she would squeeze lemon or lime juice on them. And I thought she was nuts until I saw them putting it in bags.
Rob, what's your weird potato chip taste?
Yeah, your weird potato chip flavor.
When I was up in Montreal, they had a thing called All Dressed, which I guess would be akin to a barbecue chip.
Yes.
But a little bit more on the sour side, I guess.
All Dressed.
Yeah.
I've heard of this, and I want to try some.
All Dressed. In fact, my twins, who are up there during the school year, they love them. It's their favorite chip. But then the other day at Walgreens, I think it was Lay's that had kind of like this tandoori flavor.
That's what
sort
I was
thing.
Just talking about. They're terrible.
This is very strange.
Did you try them, Rob?
I loved them. I don't know what the deal was. Because I was a little reluctant at first. I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm going to like these. And then I actually went back to Walgreens, got another bag. And now they don't have them. So I'm like, I almost feel like going up to the manager saying, hey, you guys have any more tandooris back there?
Hey, I'll give you a little something extra for the tandooris by the counter.
Yeah, are you guys hoarding them?
What's going on back there?
I'm going to check the Walgreens near my office.
Quick,
Robin.
Run across
if
the street right now.
They have the tandooris. I'm going to bring in a bag for you.
Oh, God bless you.
And All Dressed, by the way, is basically their chips that taste a little bit like ketchup, vinegar, and barbecue mixed together.
Right, that's it. Yeah.
Oh, you just looked that up.
I did.
Oh, there they are.
Googling a patty on
the number one chip in Canada, apparently.
Yeah, and it was here for a limited time last year in September. So I'm sorry
we didn't want it.
No, we didn't
go back to Canada.
It didn't apparently.
Chips.
It didn't hit us. We didn't. We didn't jump on that wave.
No.
Of craze. More after this on 720 WGN. Sorry, John. I had to go with a wild thing. I couldn't find anything. I shouldn't try to be thematic when it comes to topics. Because
what? I love that.
Yeah.
I'm glad your buttons are working again. The last time I was here, the buttons weren't working.
I know. Craig fixed it. Took care of that. Taking care
well
of business.
Well done, Craig.
I don't know why I'm dancing like this. I should make it stop. Oh, it went to a different song. Push It Real Good. Was Wild Thing always Push It Real Good? I thought that was a
same song.
I know nothing about music.
Well, you know how to push the button.
I do know how to push the button. I can watch. Look, I can do it again. Let me do this. Wait. No, I can't do that one. How's that? No, that's not reflective. Okay, let me stop. We wanted to talk about this this football player who I do not know, Beckham Jr.
Odell Beckham Jr.
This is not this is not the soccer player's son.
No,
Bennett
no
Beckham.
Relation.
No relation.
No
okay.
relation to the.
He's got blonde hair.
Yes, he does. At least blonde hair. He's very stylish.
Very.
He's perhaps the most entertaining and most talented wide receiver in the league. He plays for the New York Giants. And a couple of weeks ago, he was seen on the sideline during a tough loss against Washington. kicking or sort of whipping his helmet at a kicking net.
Yes.
Which is, you've seen on the sidelines when the kickers practice, they kick the ball into this net. Well,
he almost lost his teeth on the top of it.
Oh, you're looking at the GIF right now. Yes. Of it. And then he was sort of seen stomping and kicking up and down the sideline, and he had to be calmed down by his quarterback. And I wrote in my block and tackle column on the AV Club about tantrums and about forgiving Odell Beckham for his tantrum. Because there
Why does it look like some other player is carrying him over out of the end zone?
Well, that actually
happened. He caught Beckham and just keeps running with him.
Josh Norman picked him up and sort of threw him down on the sideline on that one play you're looking at in that game against Washington. And so he was, you know, he's an emotional guy, and he got whipped up on the sideline. And then there always has to be this whole debate about whether he's a distraction and whether he's hurting his team. So I write this column on the site about, hey, can we just forgive the guy for the tantrum? It nourishes the soul to forgive people, and it makes you feel better about your own flaws, too. Because I think we get upset because maybe we see our own failings in these public figures like athletes, you know, raging on the sideline. And then he goes on Sunday and acts like a basket case all over again.
Oh, no.
I felt like such a
After you'd written the piece?
After I'd written the piece. Saying,
let him off the hook.
Give him a break. Let him off the hook. And it is proving now to be something of a problem because now other teams have seen, he's very talented, and a way to get, if you get under his skin, though, he doesn't perform as well. I think he had, you know, maybe 30 yards, something like that, this Sunday when the Giants lost again, and mm-hmm. he just did not perform very well.
Well, and I don't know. I guess there's there's a lot of eyes on professional players,
yes,
on athletes, and you know we have expectations. I don't know. Chris Sales, you know, cut up his jersey when he didn't like it when he was.
Oh God, that was idiotic.
I mean, there are things that, and yet I know who Chris Sales is.
Yeah, Chris Sale.
Well, I don't have to say his name correctly, but I got a pretty good idea. Now I know who this guy is, kind of. He's got that is some really bleach blonde hair.
I love it. It's beautiful.
I mean, beautiful.
I think he's very stylish and handsome, and I think he's a cool guy, except when he loses his cool, I suppose.
How is this season shaping up across the NFL?
What's been happening lately is a lot of road teams have been winning, and a lot of young, untested quarterbacks have been winning. So those are the kind of the trends in the league right now. It's throwing people off. I think it's just sort of a momentary thing. We often swoon. It happens in baseball, too, with young pitchers who come out, rookie pitchers, and tear up the league for a little while. You know, they don't have tape on these guys. A great example is the Patriots had to play their third string quarterback, and they shut out the Texans the first week he played, Jacoby Brissett. And then the next week, the Patriots were shut out because now their opponents had tape on this guy, and they knew what he was capable of. But I think that in Philadelphia, they're very excited about rookie quarterback Carson Wentz, who seems to be quote-unquote for real. I think he's actually a good...
For real?
For
real. You had to put that in quotes. I like that. Is it F-E-R, too? Can you go for real?
No, I don't think that
And no Z here. Either. No reels. For reals.
Ooh, I like that.
For reals.
I'm going to sign on to that.
For reals. Okay. For reals.
Yes,
and quotes.
I love that.
All of that.
Yes, and the quotation marks. Yeah, there's always this debate over whether teams or whether great players are for real, and it's never clear what bar they have to pass to prove themselves.
Right.
But Carson
Wentz, consistency, obviously, has got to be the best.
Consistency, but over what period of time? So Carson Wentz has torn it up at the beginning of the season. The Eagles just had their bye, a very early bye for the Eagles, so we'll see how Carson Wentz bounces back from that.
We're excited to win our first game. We have a team.
I was excited because I picked the Bears to win the game, and I felt a little foolish doing so, but then they went out and
there
won.
You go.
But well, yeah, the Bears look pretty dire.
Now we lost another player today who apparently was out last season as well.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either.
I think it was in the news, though. So
it was in the news. Yeah. I think, yeah, we'll find out more at the top of the hour. But I just like listening to the football players that we have, Dan Hampton, OB, and our guys at and Mark Carmen. They host the post game coverage, and it's,
you know, I love Carmen.
Mm-hmm. Poor guy, these guys, the former football players, they're all former Bears, and they just start yelling about the team.
It's been a tough stretch lately, for sure.
A little bit.
And there's not a lot of hope this year.
No, there's none.
No.
I think we're happy with one. We just want to get the top draft picks. You know, we don't want to be completely shut out. So now we have not been shut out.
That's right.
Right.
That's
we're not going
to
be.
You have that shred of dignity
yeah,
to go on.
We're not going to be 0-16.
Are we already tanking for draft picks though on October 5th?
It's four games in. Sure, we're not. it's a quarter
it's
of the season.
Actually, not that ill-advised in this case. Yeah.
I'm just saying, this town, you know, is excited about the Cubs, and we just found out we are playing San Francisco
Giants,
on Friday
after a very exciting pitcher's duel in the wild card game mm-hmm. tonight. Which wrapped up perfectly in time for me to make it down here for the radio. It's as if they knew. I needed to leave.
Yeah, somewhere to be. Well, last night, the Jays game was fantastic, too.
That was a great
Orioles.
Game, too.
I was so sad that I didn't watch that from the beginning. I decided to watch the VP debate instead, which was, it was not entertaining until the last 5 minutes, until Tim Kaine whipped out that Mexican thing.
Oh,
that was,
Lord.
Man, that set
Speaking
Twitter on
of
fire.
Controlling your emotions. And last night's in the wild card game, one of the Toronto fans threw a can of beer.
Oh no!
On the field,
I hadn't heard
during
that.
A play.
Ugh. That's a crappy thing to do. I don't like
Boy,
that.
It's really rotten. They're
yeah.
trying to find who it is,
Control
but
yourself.
I think
oh,
the person's going to get away.
Yeah, because I mean, how many cameras are on the stands at any
well,
time?
Well, they have some footage, but it's hard to.
To pick out that
to
particular...
To pick out the one person, yeah.
Well, because everyone's got a beer in their hands. Like,
<That's>
who launched
part
it?
Part of the problem.
Was it a can of beer? Or
it was a can. They said on the broadcast that it was a
cans?
Bottle, but it was actually a can.
So yeah. I guess someone smuggled it in, because I'm assuming...
No,
they sell cans there?
Cans at the
don't
Toronto...
Get cans here.
No,
they pour it. They pour
different
it for
ballparks
you.
Have different policies.
Well,
yeah.
That's their fault. They shouldn't be giving cans to the fans.
I think it's some ballparks do cans... It has something to do with craft beer. I forget what exactly. There is a reason that some ballparks do cans, but I obviously don't know what it is. So
part
I don't
of the
know
experience.
Why I brought it up.
Is, yeah. No, it's okay. No, you did. I think it's interesting to hear that a fan decided to launch a you know an object into the field at all.
Around the same time that Mike Pence was losing his cool, this Toronto fan also
did you,
lost.
Did you watch the whole? Oh, you said you watched some of it today.
Almost all of it. But there were a few times I had to just walk out of the room because it was too. And why? Why was I so frustrated by it? I'm not sure, because I should be more frustrated by the presidential debate. But at least, I don't know, at least then you have the principles sort of going at each other. And this with the sort of surrogates, which is basically right. what these running mates are.
But I think fans of Trump, there has to be an element of, okay, good. There's going to be somebody else, you know, hanging out with Donald Trump, who seems to have the executive prowess to be in charge.
That was the idea behind Pence,
yes.
Yeah, that he's going to be the calming force. But it's also clear that Trump doesn't really care that much about Pence. Pence plays very little role in the campaign. He has.
I know Giuliani's the one that's always talking. Chris Christie are the ones that
yeah,
you see more
by
of.
By all accounts.
Or who's it, Conway? What's her name?
Kellyanne Conway, the campaign manager.
Yeah.
Yeah,
who said last week he doesn't have to have facts if he doesn't know them. Which I thought was interesting.
She is drowning out there.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I
feel sorry for her every time I see her on TV. She has to explain all these lies.
But she seems to like it.
No,
you think that
no,
she's
no, she does not, Patty.
She does a good job of seeming
see
like she
the
likes
suffering
it.
Behind. She does seem like she likes
I,
it.
I think but, there are people who can really buy into what they have to get done in the moment.
She's a total
you know?
Pro, but
yes.
That's why I feel sorry for her,
oh.
Because she's has to flack all this nonsense. I mean, come on. He's tweeting about old
so
beauty queens, and she has to go out and explain that. That's a tough job.
I've taken the lid, by the way, in case anyone who's wondering. I've taken the lid off of only talking about Trump on... Oh, wait, today is Wednesday. I can't talk about Trump today. This works out perfectly. It's
oh,
not midnight
correct.
Yet, but that's fine.
I didn't know that was a rule.
Yeah, we only talk about Trump on Wednesdays.
Usually not here.
Although
Wednesday.
We talked about him last night, too, but there's so
yeah,
much out
to.
There.
You
yeah,
had.
You gotta. More after this on 720 WGN. We're hanging out with John Tatey, editor. He's one of our good friends from the AV Club. More in just a moment. Don't lose that number, John. Never lose our number, will you? You're listening pretty late.
Disquieting hey. Live for you.
You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with the AV Club's John Tatey. We were talking a little bit earlier about food items, you know, favorite food items. I would say, you know, would you put potato chips and cookies, Oreo cookies in particular, as comfort food in that category?
Yeah,
I think so.
Junk food, maybe.
Junk food, comforting junk food, like mashed potatoes and
it's
gravy.
It's an interesting question, actually. Yeah, because I feel like comfort food often
it's more like,
warm.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Although
right.
I think of like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich also as comfort food.
See, we all have different things that comfort
I
us.
I guess so.
I do love Oreo cookies, and I was saying earlier that they may have a cinnamon bun Oreo cookie, and from Chicago Scanner, listening to us.
Oh, my favorite.
They said that's delicious. So now I have to, I'm curious. Now I mean, because if you think cinnamon bun, right, that wonderful icing.
Oh, Chicago Scanner likes the...
cinnamon bun Oreos are fantastic.
By the way, if people don't know, you can follow on Twitter, Chicago Scanner. Chicago_Scanner is the username.
Mm-hmm.
I follow him and Spot News on IG, which is on Instagram. And I don't know if it's Spot News on IG on Instagram, but on Twitter, it's Spot News on IG.
Mm-hmm. And they are they're listening to us right now. And they pretty much update you on the different things they pick up on scanners all over the Chicagoland area.
You really get a sense of what is happening in terms of crime in the city because they're on the police scanners. But I just find it fascinating to follow. And I think kind of important for me to follow and to know what's going on in the neighborhoods that, frankly, look, I live in an affluent part of the city and I don't see what goes on in other parts of the city. So this gives me some awareness of the day-to-day issues afflicting the city.
And the kind of information that comes across the scanners, too. The conversations that they have, too.
Conversations they have, and these guys will often catch funny little snippets of dialogue. It's not all terrible things happening. Sometimes there's some funny jokes in there. But it gives you a sense of the pulse of the city.
Caller says, the pound won't release her car. #Chicago. #ChicagoScanner. Caller says he has a permit from Tourism Board to film, and there are cars parked there that need to be towed. Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there's a crew that wants that car out of the darn way. That's from yesterday. I wonder who that was. Male selling drugs at the old bus stop, 30 West Chicago, and he's been arrested for it before. Yeah, these are...
just little snapshots, right?
I do like Chicago. I don't know. Chicago Scanner, why? There was just one yesterday that says, it is really loud. Did that come across the... was that the dispatcher? I don't know who did that.
There are sometimes some non sequiturs. And frankly, I will warn people, sometimes there is some, on Spot News at least, there is some graphic content as well.
Oh, yes, exactly. Well, because this is high
intensity.
Because
people get shot and it's, you get a glimpse of some of the viscera, shall I say.
I mean, it's all happening in real time. People are reacting, in their human way. Mm-hmm. We also have a text from the 620 that they still sell, Rob Martier, an alert for you. They are still selling the all-dressed chip, by the way, at Dollar General stores. I'm not sure which one this particular caller... Yes. I will check.
Go get them.
Dollar General.
All right, so I'm all over the all-dressed.
I don't know where the 620 is, but you get you some all-dressed chips.
That's right. Do they have Wild Bill beef jerky down there, too?
Oh.
I'm on my way.
Okay, I'll find out. You know what I'm on? I like turkey, Slim Jims. They make them out of, there's another brand that makes them out of turkey, which I can't eat the
turkey. Jerky?
Turkey. Well, turkey with like the Slim Jims, like the smoked sticks.
I see. Are Slim Jims not jerky? Am I mistaken?
I don't know. Are they jerky? I used to love Slim Jims. I could eat so many of those.
And they're so good for you, too.
Oh, yeah. No, they say that all that grease. Like, did you ever squeeze one and you see, like, oh, it's, I don't want to get into it.
You've made
not comfort food, by the way.
So many times
I have, with
your garlic oatmeal and your Slim Jim squeezing.
I did not make garlic oatmeal. I ate oatmeal, also garlic. Those are the things that were happening.
Okay.
What's going on at the AV Club we should tell people about before we go? Before you go, I'm still going to be here.
Hey, every Friday morning, read the Block and Tackle column. Even if you don't love football, I think you will enjoy this. In fact, I get emails every week from people who say, I can't stand football, but I still read your column, which is very nice of people to say that. It's on avclub.com every Friday morning.
And are you still doing, are you still doing 6 Feet Under by any chance? I'm just curious.
Every day.
Every day?
People email and tweet me about that, and I need to get back and finish the fifth season, I will get back to it at some point.
You write so eloquently about a show that was, I think, transformational.
For me, at least.
Yes. I think for a lot of people in television, I think it was.
And for television,
I think the way they handled death and the human experience, it was really just a great show.
It still doesn't get the credit that it deserves, in my
really?
Opinion. Really? Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Well, we'll give it credit. This is Chicago's Very Own. More after this in just a moment. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and I am pleased to introduce you to Katie Walsh, who is the Director of Development and Communications with the National Runaway Safe Line, and they have an event coming up that we want to learn more about, but first I want to find out more about you, Katie Walsh. How are you doing?
I am doing great, Patty, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, my pleasure. We try to make sure that as many stories as possible are shared with our audience, because, I bring my own experiences. is. And I'm so grateful that our friend James has brought you to our studio.
I know. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. Come closer to your microphone.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
I can do that.
Tell me how you got involved with the National Safeline.
Okay. So I've been at the National Runaway Safeline for over 12 years. We've actually been around for more than 45 years. We are completely located here in Chicago in a Lakeview neighborhood, and we have been serving the country as the national communication system for runaway and homeless youth since 1974.
I had no idea.
Yes.
Well, tell us what the National Runaway Safeline is.
So what we do is, you know, it used to be we were the hotline. We're the hotline for youth at risk. They can call and talk to a compassionate person. And now we are much more than just a hotline. We are crisis hotline and online services. It's for youth and their families across the country. Whenever they call in or chat in or post on our forum or email to us, they are connected with a person that has been trained with 40 hours of training in crisis intervention. So wherever they are in the country, we can help them connect to something safe, like whether they need shelter or they need a soup kitchen, or they need counseling. We're going to help them work through their problem and connect to services.
And if they need like protective sort of services, mm-hmm. they can also call you.
We are a mandated child abuse reporter. So, okay. Of course, we would help them and advocate. We do a lot of advocacy. So often, like a youth doesn't feel comfortable contacting the authorities about abuse in the home, and we will act as the advocate. We're always a youth advocate first. So we'll stay on the phone, help them work through the story, share it with whoever they want to talk to, whether it's the police or they want to talk to a family member to kind of work through their story.
Because the reason a teenager or a young person might leave their home, it can come from so many different sources, whether they feel like they can't trust their parents.
Absolutely.
Or they and what do you find with this population? Because if you've been there for 12 years, I'm guessing it's also changed as social media has a bigger impact.
Social media and the online services are blowing up for certain. But what we're seeing is anecdotally over four decades, is that the number one reason youth run away from home is family dynamics. So something changed in the home, whether it's parents getting divorced or a sibling moving out mm-hmm. or a blended family. Something happened in the home and there's a reason for conflict. And that the first instinct for youth is like, I'm just going to run away from the problem. And so what we always try to remind people, and especially the media, is that these aren't bad kids.
Right.
They're kids running from bad situations. So what we try to do is connect them back to like the family or an alternative living situation where they can be safe and off the street.
Well, because I think that a lot of people, you know, imagine that a teenager is just overreacting or, you know, they're acting out of impulse. Well,
right.
Yes, they are, because if you remember being a teenager,
oh, yeah.
everything felt like the end of the world.
Well, and I think of growing up in the 80s when I was a teenager, and it was incredibly, like, personal and,
yes.
You know, overwhelming. And then I think of youth now, and they've got Facebook and they've got Twitter and Snapchat. And so it's not like they're just growing up personally. They are growing up publicly.
Yes, they are.
And people are bullying them on social media, and there's so many more intricate layers of crisis for these youth. So it's really important that we, National Runaway Safeline is a wonderful avenue for youth to connect to someone who is going to care, who's not going to be that's going to be non-judgmental, non-directive, and help them work through the problem.
Do you also have resources for parents who know that their child or the young person in their home is at risk? Or,
yes.
Or someone who has left the home?
Absolutely. So we have a database of over 10,000 resources across the country. So whenever, if somebody's calling from Chicago or they're calling from Albuquerque, we can connect them to services in their local area. And then every call or live chat we get, we go through what we call our crisis intervention model, which is five steps to help people feel comfortable talking about what the story is, get to the crux of the problem, and help them figure out what the solution is. Not tell them what their solution is, but help them figure out what it is, whether it's a youth or a parent.
Right, because it has to come from within mm-hmm. that dynamic,
exactly.
Something that they can incorporate. There isn't a general, like, one solution fits all.
Right.
Can I ask you, why did Chicago become the center for this program?
Well, it's interesting. Okay, I'm going to tell you the legendary story now. It happened in 1971. The legend is that Hugh Hefner, private number was called by a youth on the street. He was randomly calling numbers, got Hugh Hefner's, the Playboy Mansion, talked to Hugh Hefner, and Mr. Hefner was so taken by what the young boy said about his life on the street, he asked his Playboy Foundation to come up with some type of support services, and the foundation founded what was called Metro Help back in 1971,
wow.
Which became the National Runaway Switchboard, which became National Runaway Safe Line now.
So 45 years because
right.
a young man called Hugh Hefner.
And I just love that story. And
that's great.
Yeah, it's wonderful the power of one person to make a difference in generations of young people's lives.
Yeah, that's remarkable. And what is the Spirit of Youth?
Okay, so our annual benefit is Spirit of Youth. It's coming up next Saturday, October 15th, and we're doing a totally different event this year. We had been doing, in my tenure there, we've done galas, sit-down galas, then we went to cocktail receptions, trying to meet what people's interests were in their fundraising, philanthropic senses. But this year, we're doing something totally different. We're having it at Navy Pier.
Okay.
From 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. I hope you come, Patty. We're gonna drive 9 food trucks onto the Expo Hall at Navy Pier, and we have carnival games and attractions like a big slide. We've got these inflatable racetrack, and we're going to do all of these different activities. We're going to just make it. We're trying to get back to the roots of, like, the event has always been called Spirit of Youth, but we really want to get to what is the Spirit of Youth,
right.
And, you know, kind of a fun, frolicky event, but we're trying to raise $250,000 for National Runaway Safe Line.
What day is your event at Navy Pier?
So it's next Saturday, October 15th, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. You can buy tickets online at our website at 1-800-RUNAWAY.org. And we have a general admission ticket. We have different bundling packages, too. One ticket is $100, and that's going to get you beer, wine, all of the food trucks, all the attractions, everything to have a lot of fun for the evening. And if you are coming with a friend, it's $175 for two people. We're
okay.
doing 6 people for $500, and our big bundle is 15 people for $1,000.
So everyone, I think that this is a great way to celebrate with the people that you work with and also help an amazing organization. We're talking to Katie Walsh, who is the Director of Development and Communications with National Runaway Safe Line. And as she mentioned, you can go to 1-800-RUNAWAY.org to buy tickets for this event on October 15th.
Absolutely.
At Navy Pier. And also you can get more information about the National Runaway Safe Line.
Yes.
312-981-7200. Do you mind if I encourage people to call or text us if they
oh,
have
sure.
any questions or
Please
concerns?
Do.
312-981-7200. And thank you so much for listening. Pretty Late. More in a moment on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Katie Walsh. She is the Director of Development and Communications at the National Runaway Safe Line. And I was asking you off the air if there are resources for parents who might think that are there warning signs if someone thinks that their child might be in, you know?
You know, we always say it's like a change of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So if your kid is really outgoing and all of a sudden they get really quiet, if you find that they're kind of stockpiling money, it's like a change. If they usually are very great eater and they're not eating as much, it's like a change of behavior that something is going on underneath, you know, that
right.
they need to work through.
And every family has a different dynamic, as we were mentioning earlier. You know, there are moments because we can overreact And sometimes, you know, we think that we're helping when we're actually stifling or pushing someone away.
Right.
So can parents, as I asked earlier, they can call you.
They can call us. And, you know, we're 24/7. We are always there, 1-800-RUNAWAY. And one of the things that helps, too, is that we will mediate a telephone conversation between a parent and a youth. Will be the mediator. So it's, you know, if every time the two of the mom and the son get together, they can't connect, they can't communicate, right. They just end up fighting. We can be that mediation piece to help them get to the next level. So we are available for all of that.
And I would think sometimes parents maybe get angry and the child might think that it's at them.
Yes.
I think parents get angry at themselves when they can't fix their child's problems.
I think that's very true. And, you know, I think it's a very scary time, not just to be a youth, but to be a parent now, because you know that your kid's out there and they're exposed online mm-hmm. and out in the world. And those are two very scary worlds.
And there's also like the standard of parenthood, you know, whether we're comparing ourselves to our neighbors or the people in our community or someone on television. I think one of the hardest things to do is to tell yourself you're doing a good job and have that translate into how you communicate with your children. I have to look in the mirror and go, okay, I'm doing a good job. I may not be the best parent. I may not even be the parent I wanted to be. But right now, I have to be the parent I need to be for my child.
Right.
And that's something. So if you think that your child is at risk, please reach out to the National Runaway Safe Line. Again, that's 1-800-RUNAWAY. And also the website if people are afraid to call.
Right. So we have online services at 1-800-RUNAWAY.org. We have live chat. We have a crisis email. And we have a forum where people not only we post responses, but the public posts responses. So people are sharing their stories and learning from each other.
This is a great organization. I'm so glad that you came in the studio tonight. And I know you have your event coming up on October 15th. And what do the fundraising aspects help fund?
Well, you know, we are the national communication system for runaway and homeless youth. So we receive a significant federal grant to do those services. But we've been on a flat contract since 2004. And what happens with fundraising is that helps us do the other things that we need to do, the cost of living and just the cost of running an operation that's 24 hours a day. We utilize a lot of volunteers, too, to keep our costs down. We have about 120 volunteers who each go through 40 hours of crisis intervention training, and they commit to working a two-hour shift weekly for a year. And that's part of what keeps our costs down. So, but fundraising, all the support, you know, it helps turn the lights on. It helps make sure that we, you know, train another volunteer that can take a crisis chat. So all of it goes to a good cause.
And this is going to be Saturday, October 15th. Mm-hmm. Everyone can go to 1-800-RUNAWAY.org for ticket information. And you said that tickets are $100. And the more people you bring, the prices go down per person. I like that. And if people aren't, maybe they're not available that day or this is out of their price range, how can they contribute to Runaway?
Well, I would say, you know, for the event too, we're going to have an online auction. They can participate that way, or a raffle. And those, that's all available on the website. But also, we're always looking for people that want to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they want to be a crisis intervention volunteer and actually be in our crisis service center and chat with youth and parents and help them in their situation, or if they want to do administrative work, we're always looking for volunteers.
And this is an interesting way to make a connection. You know, we're right now in this environment culturally in the United States, I think people are frustrated or angry or confused about what's going on. What an interesting way to make a connection to learn about what, you know, our youth are going through, what parents are going through, what's going on in our communities. Because I've said this before, you know, we're angry. Well, what can we do to make a difference? And this is an avenue for people. What would you say is the sort of effect on people who are able to help the individuals that you reach out to?
Well, I know that we have fantastic volunteers. And I know that I have one quote in my head from a volunteer who says that whenever she answers the call, she hears despair. But by the end of the call, she hears hope. So it's that we are able to connect people with that true experience of helping people and because we never know what call is coming in.
Right. You never know. And I think that's immeasurable, the effect of being able to give someone hope, because without hope, there's no path forward.
Sure. It,
no matter what part of life you're in. And so people can support the National Runaway Safe Line through through volunteering. What are frontline team members?
Our frontline team members are our volunteers.
So okay.
It's not our crisis service center. We just moved to a new location, so we expanded our stations. We have 12 stations. There's always some staff in the crisis service center, but we also use volunteers that are trained especially our online services in the last year have doubled. So we really do need more help.
And how young, what would you say is some of the youngest individuals that you've helped?
Well, the typical, or I would say the average number is like 15 to 17.
Right.
But what we've seen, especially with online services, younger youth, 10 yeah. and younger.
I was thinking that might be the case, especially online. You know, again, I think because we're almost, kids are growing up so quickly now because they're seeing so much online.
Yes.
But the fact that perhaps they didn't have access to Runaway, the 1-800-RUNAWAY.org website, you know, perhaps there were kids before this who were struggling and didn't know where to turn. Because, you know, this is something that doesn't spontaneously happen at 15. So, I mean, sometimes, but there are things that can also sort of fester for a while.
Oh, sure.
Someone who feels like they're alone. Again, some of the resources that you provide are intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Protection. You serve as a advocacy for children who are in the middle of a perhaps domestic violence situation.
Yes.
What other things?
And mediation.
Mediation.
And I should do a whole plug for our wonderful program called Home Free. It's in conjunction with Greyhound Lines buses. So what we do is if a youth is ready to go home, wherever they are in the country, we'll connect them with a free ticket home. We'll contact the parent
right.
and make sure that they have a place to go home to.
Sure.
It's our family reunification program that we've been doing with Greyhound since 1995, and we've gotten 15,000 youth home through that program.
Oh, that's astounding. Well, yeah. I want to thank you and everyone that you work with at the National Runaway Safe Line for the work that you do.
Thank you.
And again, I want to remind everybody to go to 1-800-RUNAWAY.org, and their event is on October 15th
yes.
at Navy Pier. Again, there's going to be food trucks and cocktails, carnival, like the bouncies,
yeah,
like the slides.
Well, we're not doing a bouncy house, but we've got a big slide. We've got a inflatable racetrack. We've got these bungee cord things. We're doing sumo wrestling. It's going to be
what?
A great time.
Oh, well, thank you again. That's Katie Walsh. She's the Director of Development and Communications, the National Runaway Safe Line. Again, 1-800-RUNAWAY, or go to the website 1-800-RUNAWAY.org. More in a little bit on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, the CEO and mastermind behind Vamp Chicago. Go to vampchicago.com. They're at MCL every Friday and Saturday night, 10:30. It's a music, comedy, and drinking show. And it's BYOB. And also bring your sense of humor.
Yeah.
Well, I think that you even if they didn't bring it, you charm the...
We make angry people laugh. We spread laughter to everyone.
Do you make angry people
yeah,
laugh?
I think so.
I think Kevin Naughton gets angry and makes people laugh is what he does. He has a show on Monday, the second Monday? Is it the second Mondays? I haven't figured
generally,
this out yet.
Generally, you're right. It's the second Mondays of every month. Second Mondays.
Second Mondays.
This is
second
good.
Mondays.
Good start. Good start.
All the Mondays. Kevin Naughton has snapshots at Zanies on Wells.
Yes.
Showtime is at 8:30. I think... I should just. I'll be there. I have
really?
Material I'm working on. Yeah, I'll be there.
Beautiful
Monday night. I know Cubs are playing.
I didn't say anything.
Hey, let's all go. I'll tell you. Well, when I go up, I'll tell you the score.
You know what? It's just.
Oh, I'd be so mad.
It's just if you want nothing to do with that, then please come to the show and enjoy yourself.
312-981-7200. We're giving away a pair of tickets for Monday night snapshots. I will be there performing with Kevin Naughton.
Yes.
And we have a pair of tickets to give away. 312-981-7200 to the third caller. Let's do that. I think that'd be fun. Come hang out with us.
One, two, three.
Yeah. And you know what? There's plenty of non-Cubs fans, or there's plenty of Cubs fans that maybe want to come see us do a show talking about other things. I'm trying to work on a thing about taxes. I know. It sounds like a lot of funny bit. That's a chunk of funny right
Every
there.
Every time I hear the word taxes, I just crack up.
Would it have been better if they called it duty? Right? Duty? Your duty
or
to.
Completely unconstitutional money taking.
Money taking? The taking of money. I've been trying to do, I've been Googling the history of taxes, and it's not going well. It goes all the way back to Egypt. It's just, there's a lot.
The history of taxes has to do with Egypt?
Goes all the way back to when they started collecting taxes, was as far as they can tell. And also in the Bible, you know, to give a fifth of the year crop to the...
Yeah, Zacchaeus.
You see?
Simon Peter.
I've been doing the work.
Look at this.
Yeah, no, I hate when a comedy bit becomes a history lesson. Like, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, you know, if it's not, I know what you're talking about, because sometimes you go on, you start digging into something, and the next thing you know, you're doing a lot of research, and it better be funny.
It better be funny, right? If you're going to do all that, if you're going to get in there and take notes and do the research, yeah, you better bring
it. I came to laugh, not to learn.
Well, and that's the thing. You really got to get into the part that's going to connect with people and also find the humor. Yeah.
And you can do that, and even though you dig into that research, I like to keep digging in until finally something, you know, comes out of it.
Yes.
But you do have to, you're right about that, Brandon. You have to dig sometimes so far into it, and but that I think that helps, because all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, there's the setup, there's the punchline, yay.
Yeah. Right.
And then you're done.
Yes. Well, that, and but unless you want to make it into a bigger chunk, I've seen comics just sort of unpack this amazing story, and you don't even realize the journey you're being taken on.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh, like Hal Sparks. I went and saw Hal Sparks at Zany's one night, and he started with this one story about watching videos on YouTube, and somehow he did a whole set. He's a little high energy and manic and has these great stories about his family. And the next thing you know, he ends with the story he talked about on the YouTube thing. But it was very strange about how we're all holograms, that we might all be a hologram.
It's so nice when things tie back in together.
Yeah.
Like TV shows, comedy bits, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you clean it all up at the end, I'm very appreciative.
I agree.
Callback.
Callback. Is it a callback or is it a theme, right? If you've been able to weave everything else as part of like this was all a grand plan, is it then a thematic or is it a callback?
Couldn't it be both?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, you just leapt at me with that. Yes. And then let me just share this with you. That's got to be one of the first times a woman ever leapt at me with a yes in a long time.
I leapt at him. Leapt.
Thank you.
So that'll be on Monday night. We're doing snapshots at Zany's on Wells. Showtime is at 8:30. Go to zanys.com for showtime. Mm-hmm. And do you know what other comics are already scheduled to appear with us?
Yes. I have some younger ones, some ones that are developing. You may have put them on the Female Funnies. I've got Krista Atkinson.
I put nobody on Female Funnies. It's Jenna that puts
them. Oh, that's right. Jenna does.
I say this is, that was.
This is and that was? Okay.
That was and this is. That's probably the better way.
I've got a Kristen Lundberg, Krista Atkinson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Who else
is Slagle on the show?
Slagle's going to stop by because he's got to.
He's got to, yeah.
He's
it's required.
It.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, as long as you're swinging through from Crystal Lake, why not? I mean... That's how far he's got to come.
Pretty much. No, he's coming from Indiana, isn't he?
Is he? I thought he lived in Crystal Lake.
No, that's...
That's Preston.
Dolby and Preston.
We're just telling where all the comics live,
Crystal
Brendan.
Crystal Lake's really nice.
It is very nice.
I didn't know comics could live in nice places.
Well,
I live in Jefferson Park. It's lovely there.
Yeah, he's right about that. We're all living our cars in these neighborhoods that we're describing.
I get paid to be funny. I don't live very nicely.
We were talking last night, Kevin. Did you ever work for Carol Pennington? She did, like, the Ohio, Pennsylvania routes.
Yes.
And Yoder did a lot of those too, right? Did you ever do the hotel that's supposed to be haunted somewhere in Ohio? I'm trying to remember the name of the hotel I worked with.
Sure, it's Ohio?
Tim Harrison. It might have been Pennsylvania. Have you worked in a haunted hotel?
I thought wasn't the Holly Hotel in Holly, Michigan supposed to be?
Oh, that's another one. See, this is what happens in our careers.
I heard that the condo at the old condo at the Milwaukee Comedy Cafe, that was supposed to be haunted.
Kevin, it was just very dirty.
It
was haunted with the scum of previous comics.
Sure. You're right about that.
Oh, it was so gross. You don't want to say anything about the owners?
I know who you're talking about, and I'm responsible for some of the scum. So.
No. Yeah, the club was responsible for the turnover once we were done. This place was so gross. One time, I guess other comics slept with the door open, because if they didn't, when I closed it, there was just like this whole pile of like dust bunnies and like spider webs were coming with the door. It was so bad. The worst used to be the Nashville Comedy Condo when they had the it was right across the street from the Zanies.
Yeah.
And it was like this house, and when I was staying there, the cook was living upstairs. Like, I had to stay in the same house with the cook, and the shower curtain was filled with grunge and the wall was filled with mold, and there was like a draft, so the shower curtain would come toward me and I couldn't get away.
That's the worst. I'll angle the shower head in nasty showers to like go against the curtain so it won't touch me.
I don't miss the comedy condos. Do you still say any of the condos?
No, I can't. I can't do that anymore. No. You know, the one time I was in Nashville a billion years ago, they were kind to me because everybody else was from Nashville, coincidentally.
Oh, yes.
So that was on the show that week.
They put you in a hotel.
They put me in a nice condo that where they usually house the headliner.
Oh, yes.
I got to stay in a nice place. Mm-hmm. And it was like the first time I had stayed in a decent room condo. And I the jokes were flowing that week.
Oh, the energy.
Yeah. It's just, I felt better about myself. You know, the air was smelling cleaner and... You know,
your sinuses were
free HBO.
The inflammation went away.
I'm trying to think of the worst condos I stayed at. It was definitely Milwaukee was one, Nashville back in 99, and then up in Minnesota, the Mall of America had one that was kind of that one.
We were traveling. It was a Buddy Holly's last show. I was playing
the Surf Ballroom.
Bass. It was featured in the Surf Ballroom with Big Bopper and everybody. And we went to this one place in Granbury, Texas, and we were staying in a refurbished, quote fingers, like 1930s hospital. And it was the creepiest thing. I don't personally believe in hauntings, and I'm open to being proven wrong about that, but I've just never seen it. But these long, awful corridors, and you're just sitting in the room, and you can tell what, you know, people were just getting chopped and sawed off their leg. It was the creepiest place in the whole world.
We did a great show
because
you were scared, you couldn't sleep that night.
I'm gonna stay in the theater. We're gonna go rehearse early.
I had one of the oddest things. This is not haunted or ghost like, but this really happened. I was finishing up a Sunday night. I was doing the old Knuckleheads up in the Mall of America.
Yeah.
And this place was so pristine.
That's what it was called, was Knuckleheads.
Knuckleheads, yeah. And I remember I finished up the show. I was having a beer. I was sitting in the back. I think I finished selling my Don't Make Me Snap T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just relaxing, and I was about to get paid. So I'm waiting around, and there was still some people hanging around from after the show. And the bartender was this little guy, probably about 4'8", and his name was Jamie. He's a real nice guy, good bartender. And all of a sudden, this guy walked in, and he must have been about 6'10". He had a cowboy hat on. He had a cowboy, a Western shirt, or as we say in the old neighborhood, a Western shirt.
Western.
And he had the complete West with the jean vest. And he looked, he had a bushy black mustache, giant of a man.
Right out of casting.
Boots. Yeah, and this is the Mall of America,
yeah.
And the show's over, and he walks in, he sauntered in,
yeah.
Walked like John Wayne style, walked up to...
I see the spurs hitting the ground.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm hearing in my head. And he walked up to the bartender, and he said, and I'm not making any of this up, he walked right up to little Jamie, and he went, whiskey.
And the piano player stopped, and everyone turned.
Everybody froze and turned. Yosemite Sam was involved. Literally, he goes whiskey, so he brought he wants some Jameson. He said, you know, he poured him a shot of Jameson, shot it down, looked at me, he said, another one.
Leave the bottles, what he's supposed to say.
Just, he didn't have his John Wayne etiquette going. Right? So he knocked back like 3-4 of them. Then he looked at Jamie and he said, thanks a lot. And he reached into his top vest pocket and paid him in silver coins.
No.
And he bounced him on the bar, turned around, walked away. And to this day, I don't know where my hero went. You know?
I feel like that guy once a year, he's like, today's the day, Steve. And he dresses up and he goes out and he plays the role he always wanted to be.
Could be.
That's so much fun.
Yeah, I love that.
He could have been, you could be absolutely right, Brandon. He could have been an acting student trying to play the part. I don't
very
think
method.
So.
Very,
he was very good at being whatever that was.
What brought him up so far north?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
the rodeo,
the cattle drive.
You don't think Mall of America? You don't think you're going to see people shopping?
But Kevin, it's the Mall of America. Everyone wants to see the stores. You think maybe he was in for supplies.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I am not here to disagree with either one of you.
I'm on my way to Alaska for gold.
I was waiting for him to say Mississippi.
Yeah.
More with our guests, Brandon C. Price and Kevin Naughton. When we come back, it's pretty late on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Kevin Naughton, who hosts Snapshots this coming Monday at Zanies on Wells. It will be the third game of the playoffs with the Giants with the Cubs, and that's fine. I'll be there.
Yeah,
I'll be excited.
Oh yeah, yeah. I spoke to Coach Wanstead today. He's going to stop in with his wife.
What?
Yeah, they're going to come by. They're friends of mine.
Coach Wanstead, does he still have a mustache?
Yes,
he does.
Mm-hmm.
I have to show up just to see his mustache. I just want to see how it's doing.
He's going to love to hear that.
It's an entity. His mustache is a celebrity in its own right.
Is that right? His mustache should have his own chair then, apparently.
Is Coach Wanstead not a Cubs fan?
Well, I would imagine he is.
All right.
But I'm just letting you know, he's one of the people that are going to be there. I might have some relatives that might show up. I got some nicknames coming.
We have our friends of the show that are going to be at the show there as well. Thank you so much. Congratulations to our winners, Stephen and Lorraine, who are going to be there on Monday night as well. And I want to thank Susanna, who was at the show last week, came to see me at Zany's, okay, and brought a friend. And thank you so much for coming out. Well, it's a great show. It's the oldest comedy club in Chicago, the best place to see live stand-up. So come hang out with us on Monday night. I'll be doing 7 to 10 minutes of new material.
What time is the show?
It's at 8:30.
8:30.
Mm-hmm.
Come on by, Brandon.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on.
You know,
I have to check with the missus. Monday's our night.
we'll bring the missus then.
Why not? This is the one on...
Wells. Yeah.
All right.
Wells
all right.
In North Avenue.
I said it out loud to the public. I'm going.
1548 Stop. North Wells.
What was it cost to get in?
I know people.
Cool.
And for our listeners, listen up after 1 a.m. We'll give away another pair of tickets. And we'll figure out a way to give those away. Should we do a trivia question?
Maybe. Ooh, that's fun.
I like that. Do we do a Cubs question?
It's kind of counterintuitive to asking people to not watch the game.
Maybe we should do a John Wayne question
there
then, since
go.
We were talking about John Wayne.
I think that makes
Wayne.
More sense to mm-hmm. me.
All right, then. I can do this. How many movies? Oh, that's not a good one. How many movies was he? Oh, I have one. 312-981-7200. How many movies was John Wayne killed in? It has to have been killed in. Out of all the movies, he made over 270 movies.
Okay.
How many movies was John Wayne killed in?
270?
Yeah, 270.
If I guess it right now, that kind of diffuses.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do
don't
that.
Guess it.
You, don't
how
even guess
you,
it.
And you know what? I'm going to make it even. I should make it harder because I can Google it. But 312-981-7200. Somebody who knows will call right away and tell me how many because I know off the top of my head.
Okay.
Technically, there's one number and then there's kind of another number.
Ooh. There's how many movies did John Wayne say Pilgrim in?
I love that. I grew up on John Wayne movies. I'll bet you did too,
yeah.
Kev.
Oh, my goodness. My father took me. I'll tell you something. Here's a story. The three Naughton boys, my two brothers. My brother Jimmy, who's in a truck right now listening to this show, bless his heart. And my other brother Brian. My dad, when we were kids, he took us to see Big Jake.
Oh, that's a
first
good one.
First run at the People's Theater, which was located at 47th and Ashland. Okay, I'm the oldest boy, my brother Brian, my brother Jim, we're sitting there like little organ pipes, and you know what they did? And the movie was rated G. Big Jake was a G-rated movie, and my dad was a big fan, and so were the Naughton boys, so we decided we're going to go to the movie, and we get the popcorn and the snacks, and we're sitting there. The previews were Boxcar Bertha and Sweet Sugar.
Really?
Whoa! They shouldn't have showed that because at the time, I think I was 8. My other brother was 5. My other brother was maybe 3 or 4, something like that. So there
new
was
stuff.
That was, something that just went into my brain and never left.
You know what? People who are looking up the how many movies did John Wayne die in? Yeah, but here's the thing. There's one number and then there's another number. There's that number and then there's a reason why there are two different numbers. So people are trying to figure out. Call me with either number, by the way. 312-981-7200. But that's the thing is, Big Jake, does it have Maureen O'Hara in it?
That might have been that one.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Okay,
Do you see the contradiction?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I do.
There's a contradiction in the numbers.
Do you have to see it?
You
have to watch the man die. Can you just
right, how many
it?
Times does he die on screen, I guess, is the more specific question.
Lots of tickets to give away.
312-981-7200.
Okay.
My dad was a huge John Wayne fan. And like my dad started smoking cigarettes when he was 12 years old because John Wayne smoked Camels. I know.
Back in those days, yeah.
12 years old smoking non-filter Camels.
Larry?
Larry.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember my dad saying?
I do.
Dad.
Yeah, I remember.
My dad was more spaghetti western, Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah. Hang him high.
Like John, too.
Mm-hmm. Fistful of Dollars.
I watched it because mm-hmm. he was into it, and it was your dad, so you're into anything that he's into at that age.
Yes.
Like, even going back now, they're slow. They're slow.
The movies are. Oh yeah, but it was a different style. There was a drama to it. There was an art to it as well.
Interesting. When I was a kid, my father took me to one Disney movie when I was five. I got to see Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then my father said, "That'll be enough of that." And from then on, it was John Wayne, Charles Bronson, The Dirty Dozen, anything with hard times, fighting, criminal activity, Tony Rome, Frank Sinatra movies. My father would take me to those. I got to see, when I was a kid, he's just like, come on, let's get in here and let's watch this. You
know? Right.
And anyway, okay, Dad, let's go. And there was, and Jill St. John was going, you know, I got to see pretty women all the time on screen.
Oh, so yeah.
I didn't mind.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
It was a great education for a young feller.
Yeah, my... For a young whippersnapper.
Yeah.
I was, Westerns, and the thing was always weird when John Wayne made movies that weren't Westerns, right? Remember he made he made military movies, obviously, were another big genre for him, but then he tried being like a police officer, like the detective movie was always kind of weird to see him outside of being a cowboy was sort of a strange thing.
So yeah, some of those performers they get stuck in who they are, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when Barney Fife tried to do a serious movie. But, you know, and you were just like, oh, sorry, guy whose name I don't know because I'm always going to call you Barney Fife. Like, that's who you are now. Like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I was bought and sold on The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. However, I completely understand you not buying any other dramatic role that Don Knotts might have.
I'm sure
what was the fish movie
guy.
That Don Knotts was in? Wasn't there a movie where he like turns into a fish?
Was that, I don't know. Was
I'm not even kidding.
Why isn't he being
Limpet?
Taken seriously?
Yeah, The Incredible Mr. Limpet.
Okay.
See? It's not. I wasn't.
I'm sure it was a great film.
Doesn't he turn into a fish? Doesn't he start?
Yeah, I don't know because I don't remember watching that.
But you
movie.
Said it out loud out of your face.
Well, I know bits and pieces about lots of stuff that I don't know anything about in detail.
Story of our lives.
That's not a bad premise for a comedy bit, as far as I'm concerned. A whole bunch of words and stuff. You know, I feel like Butthead, not just words.
Just strung together. Well, and Don Knotts and Tim Conway made a couple. The
Apple Dumpling Gang.
Yes. Yeah. Also fun movies.
Man, trivia all day over here. I'm very, very impressive.
Incredible.
Googling left and right.
Mr. I can't remember. Limpet, here it comes. I just can't remember why I know this movie at all. It was, hold on. It's a, Don Knotts starts as a bookkeeper who, hold on a second. Let me read the rest of this. Who longs? Oh, I'll tell you later after the news. This is Chicago's very own. I know that's a tease. I know it's a cliffhanger. How does this end? Like we don't already know. 312-981-7200. Still looking to find out how many movies did John Wayne die in? And do we have to see him die on screen? We should go with the ones where he died on screen.
Trust your heart.
Pair of tickets to see Kevin Naughton and I at Zany. I was trying to remember what I'm giving away. Pair of tickets to see Kevin Naughton and I perform at Zany's on Monday night on Wells, 1548 North Wells, and Zany's.com for more information. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, hanging out with Brandon C. Price, the mastermind and CEO behind Vamp. It's a music, comedy, and drinking show at MCL every Friday and Saturday night at 10:30. Go to VampChicago.com. For more information, don't forget to bring YOB when you come out and hang out with them. We are talking about John Wayne movies as well. Kevin Naughton and I have been going back and forth on some of these movies. Have you seen all the ones that we were talking about off the air?
I may have seen them, but I don't remember all of them. So
that's going to be your assignment for the next time you come in next month is watching.
We
all have homework. We'll figure out which one we want to watch. There are a couple of these that I think that are, although I think Jimmy Stewart movies would be more pertinent to this political season. Like a little Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
Oh, I love that movie.
Hey, Philip, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Very well. Do you have an answer for how many movies John Wayne has died in?
Yeah, but before I say, I would just like to mention that it was really hard to find an answer.
It is. Isn't it? I was surprised because I thought I had one number that ended up being wrong. I thought it was only three. But that for some reason I had that stuck in my head for a long time. That's not the correct answer. But you, what was the disparity that you saw online?
Well, it depended on like what link because I Googled it.
Right, that's fine.
On what link? I found from five to like nine.
Right. And we because of that disparity and because here's the thing, like there's his death is seen in some movies and then there are some where his death is off screen. So you don't actually see him die. So even the question that I gave you was nebulous at best.
Or they could survive. They were in a situation where you assume they probably died, but you don't know.
We didn't have a confirmation
the Sea Chase.
We didn't have a toe tag. So, Philip, what number are we going with?
I'm going to go with 5.
5? Oh, 5. Well, we'll take 5 because that is correct on some of the websites. What website did you get that was 5? And what were the 5?
5 was the first one. The one I'm on right now is Fun Trivia, but 5 is actually... 5 is the question on Fun Trivia. Someone says, I think it's only 5, and then someone comes back and answers with a different number.
See, I don't remember some of the... Okay, well, Philip, we have tickets for you for Zanies. But first, trying to do the homework and look for the correct answer. If anyone else has another answer, we'll also take that. But, Philip, that was... I thought it was 3. You say 5. We're going to take that as well. Will you come see us at Zanies on Monday night?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Hold on the line, and Craig will take your information. Yeah, because I was the other thing is but here's the thing. People are basically just Googling.
Do you want the full answer according to Newt John's website? he then actually goes ahead and tells us each movie and how the death happened.
Okay.
The correct answer would be 7 times we've seen him die on screen. Those movies are The Shootist, The Cowboys, The Alamo, Sands of Iwo Jima, Wake of the Red Witch, The Fighting Seabees, and Reap the Wild Wind. He actually also died in a different way in 4 additional movies, but you don't see that on screen. So you could go with 11 or 7.
I've never even heard of Central Airport.
Yeah, or he the technically receiver. Is dead in The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance when that movie starts.
Yes, because Jimmy Stewart shows up at the funeral.
Right, even though you never see his death, he is dead. Mm-hmm. He also is killed but not on screen in The Sea Chase, The Deceiver, and Central Airport.
The Deceiver seems the most reach for me. Ian Keith's character died, but the corpse was played by John Wayne.
Yeah, well,
he was deceiving.
Okay, well, exactly. It's called The Deceiver, so how are you going to have a straight answer on that one? It's like my old man used to say, I'm just looking for a straight answer here, kid. Come on. That's what my dad says.
Just looking for a straight answer. By the way, Reap the Wild Wind probably has my favorite John Wayne death. Did you see that one? Killed by a giant squid. You don't see the Duke going down.
Do you see that? I guess you have to see it in that list. Yeah. So the props department had a good time.
And I think in The Wake of the Red Witch, it's kind of a noble death. I think that he kind of has to, he dies so that other people don't die. He sinks with the ship.
Yeah, who came up with the squid idea?
I don't know. It's great, though. John Wayne, we're going to take down
what about
the Duke?
A shark? No. Too easy.
Big round table going, okay, yeah, we got to bump off the Duke. How are we going to do it?
I got
to
see
it, the deadline for the script is tonight.
Why don't we make it a squid?
A squid?
Go
who
on.
Who is this guy?
Go on.
Wait, have you ever seen the video of the squid eating the shark, though? Like, the squids are, there are squids that are massive that are...
Yeah,
are...
they can't find the big one alive, right?
Yeah,
they keep finding pieces of it. Like, they found an eyeball that's like a basketball. And like they find half corpses and stuff, but I don't know if they've ever found one alive. But there is proof that there is easily a squid that could eat John Wayne.
Yeah, most definitely. In Wake of the Wild, Wake of the Red Witch, I can't remember. I think they're like treasure hunters, and they go down and they have like those old scuba suits with like the huge globe helmets.
The angry one at the beginning of Scooby Doo.
Yeah, I guess. With like the chain, like the mass that opens like with a hinge, you know. Like the birdcage door.
All right, I'm going to go way back to the Ray Rayner days. He used to have this one Diver Dan that was a similar head thing for the, you know, only it wasn't animation Diver Dan. It was lit. I don't know. I'm having trouble describing. It was literally like some kind of a kid's show about a guy who did stuff underwater. Boy, I'm having trouble today.
Water.
Yeah, and on the water.
Yeah.
But he had that big thing on his head.
Didn't Cuba Gooding Jr. star in a movie?
Yes, like it was Men of Honor.
Yes,
that was
with
a classic.
Robert De Niro.
That was a classic.
So those are the earlier scuba suits, too. In the 50s.
Mm-hmm. It seemed hard for him. Yeah. So and I think those suits would have been hard.
It seemed uncomfortable.
Didn't you have to like pump air? Like somebody was on the boat pumping air constantly into that thing?
Oh, I can't remember that. You're remembering details of the movie that...
No, I just mean in general. Scuba as it, well, as it began.
Now I have to... this whole show I've been Googling information. Hold on. Largest squid. Well, I did find information that a 50-foot squid washed up in shore. That seems,
50 feet.
That seems...
That's twice as long as the biggest great white.
That's huge. Colossal squid. The... hold on a second. Colossal. That sounds daunting.
Big just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. Now, there's one that's up to 1,600 pounds. That seems big.
I guess that
would be large in the large area. Yeah, I've never. Yes, Kevin.
No, you know what? I really. You were reading my facial expression, and
you're trying to imagine the 50-foot squid.
Yeah,
that weighs 1,600 pounds.
Yeah, that's got to be
beaks.
They have, what?
I think that's true.
Here,
What's that?
The squid have beaks.
Wow.
Don't they?
Yeah, here's the. They have beaks?
Yeah, I think they got beaks.
Here
you go.
Here's your giant squid.
Holy goodness.
That's a lot of calamari.
That is.
That's all the calamari.
You could keep a restaurant open for 3 years with that.
It reminds me of that Seinfeld episode. The sea was angry that day, my friend. Oh,
yeah. Esmeralda, how are you doing tonight? We're just talking squids and John Wayne.
Oh, cool.
Have you seen a John Wayne movie?
No.
Never.
I've never been into it. My dad loves Westerns, and I've never been into it. And actually, where my mom's from in Mexico, they filmed a bunch of Westerns and John Wayne movies.
Death Valley? Where was she from?
Durango.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess there's a museum there. Essentially, there's just props. There's just a bunch of props and pictures. Like, yeah, it was here. It's like, oh, cool.
I'm trying to say, if you were to watch a John Wayne movie, would you consider watching a John Wayne movie?
I guess.
Well, you have to watch it with your dad. Ask your dad. Okay. For me, will you watch a John Wayne movie with your dad for me?
Okay.
Which one do you recommend if someone could only see one?
I say let her dad pick, but I mean, like, you can go back and watch Stagecoach, which is his big first hit.
He remembers names of movies.
Okay.
Because he just goes, the one with the thin, and then I'm like, that's all of them.
Well, he won an Academy Award for True Grit.
Oh, that's a good one. The original True Grit. Yes, that's a good one.
That's not a bad one there, but you can't really go wrong with...
an older John, though. That was like in his career.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was late 60s, maybe even 71 or something like that.
I was talking with Vic, and he said the only John Wayne movie he's seen, and it sounds adorable, is where John Wayne... All his cowboys, he's moving cattle or something. Yeah, and then he gets kids.
Yes. Yeah, it's like a cowboy camp.
Yeah, I
scoffed. Bruce Dern is in that. You scoffed?
I scoffed because he told me it's called Cowboys, but he didn't tell me the rest.
Yeah.
That they're little cowboys.
Yeah, they're...
I was like, oh my gosh, that's
adorable.
It's
a good movie.
That's a good movie. His last movie is also tremendous, which is The Shootist with James Stewart.
That's another good movie.
But then also The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
That's probably what comes to my mind. I've only seen a couple of them, but
that's
that
a great
out.
Movie. That's a great drama. Yeah, see? I don't know what to recommend.
You know, well, I like the Rio Lobo.
Now, is that Mitchum or is that Dean Martin? Because there's two where each one of them plays the drunk.
Right.
And I can never remember.
I tell you what, you can't go wrong with either one of those movies. However, I will say this, and I'm not really big on this all the time, but Dean Martin sings a song at the end of... one of the Rio Bravo Lobo, and I have a friend who actually knows the difference, and I can't help
you. I can't tell you. Yeah.
But I go for the Dean Martin one just because it sounds so beautiful the way he sings the Rio something at the end of the movie.
And the other Dean Martin and John Wayne movie, The Sons of Katie Elder, is a great movie, too.
I like the Bravo Lobo more. The one with Walter Brennan and probably Mitchum, because that Walter Brennan's like, you can't... And he's Stumpy. Come here, Stumpy. You can't.
Oh, you know what? We've been talking about Westerns, and I said it's weird when he didn't make a Western. The Quiet Man is a movie.
That's another good
it's
one.
It's weird to watch, though, because it's like so like anti-female in so many ways. Oh. Where he's like dragging Maureen O'Hara across the fields, and like, it's just...
my buddy, Sean Callahan, puts that movie on a loop. For St. Patrick's
Day. Oh, I believe it.
Plays it over and over.
How can you go wrong with Ward Bond? And I mean, just the whole cast. We're in a hair. It's a great movie.
Have you ever seen Red River?
Oh, yeah.
With Montgomery Clift?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Esmeralda, just watch those.
Watch all of them.
All of them.
I'll get 20 TVs and I'll just play them all at the same time.
That'd be cool. Let me come over.
Kevin. Kevin. Harold is going to help us out to remember which one has Mitchum and which one has Dean Martin in the Rio Lobo, Rio Bravo confusion. Harold, how do we keep this straight?
All right. This is, it's Rio Bravo or El Dorado. Which one is?
El Dorado. Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
Which is the one that has Dean Martin and which is the one that has Robert Mitchum? Well, look. Here's how you remember. One had Ricky Nelson.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
right. And they both sang a song one after the other. And so that was the Dean Martin one. And the one where there was no singing was Mitchum and James Caan.
Oh, that's right.
He's Mississippi. Mississippi.
Yeah, with the fancy. He's got the fancy black hat and everything with the band, the buckle band
thing on your head. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, I watched that movie for the like I rewatched it again for the first time, I think a year ago, and every time John Wayne said, Mississippi, I cracked up like it was a punchline. I couldn't help myself.
He kept calling it back.
Yeah.
Mississippi. Yeah, he's like, I don't know, he was limping, and he goes, but he was limping before you shot him.
So I'm going to say go ahead. You go ahead, Harold. Yes?
Okay. No, you'll go ahead because now I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Well, how do we know which one's which then? Because Dean Martin
Dean Martin is a singer, and the one with Ricky Nelson, they both sang.
Right.
And the other one is where James Caan is the one with Robert Mitchum. He always told that story about El Dorado.
Oh.
So you'll remember that James Caan told this story about, told the story of El Dorado. It's kind of a poem, and he kept telling it. So, the El Dorado one doesn't have the singers, and the Rio Lobo one, Rio Lobo was kind of like that.
Okay, so El Dorado has James Caan and Mitchum.
And then the other one has the singing.
I still don't think I'm gonna be able to remember that one.
You know what's funny is what's his name that did Halloween, Carpenter, John Carpenter.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked him. They said, "Well, he must have been a big fan of horror films." And he said, "Well, I liked them. I when I grew up, I liked them because, but I really like westerns."
Wow.
And his first movie was kind of a remake of Rio Bravo, and it was kind of you hold up in a fort
where they're kind of trapped, right?
And then but he I was gonna say he
it's here,
he was
yep
well he was like I said he was he just he if the when he did The Thing was done by Howard Hawks.
Ah, that's right. The sort of like that slow build.
Howard Hawks did all these westerns with John Wayne, and then he did one horror film. Mm-hmm. I think only one horror film, and then
John Carpenter.
John Carpenter ended up remaking it as a horror film.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Harold, for calling. We've got to take a quick break here. More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We've jumped off the page. I had a show rundown. Craig gave me a show rundown. We had topics and everything. But once I start talking about John Wayne, and I don't know that I've actually, in the entire time I've had this show, even on Sunday nights, I don't think I really ever got into my complete, not devotion, but I grew up on John Wayne movies. I think I've seen... Every movie you and I have mentioned, I've seen all of them, including some of the texters who've been The Searchers, of course. And I was devastated that I missed it at not only Nick D's Movie Club, but also at the Pickwick Theater not too long ago.
Okay.
I missed it twice on the big screen. Yeah. But yes, the John Wayne should have won the Academy Award for The Searchers. I agree. 815. Ricky Nelson, I think someone also did mention that he was in the Rio Bravo movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
He sang as well as...
Dean Martin.
Yes.
And we have another texter, John Wayne. Love that movie, Quiet Man, from the 630.
Sure.
Hatari, I also saw. It was like, that was another. Oh, Hondo. That's a great movie.
Oh,
do you remember Hondo? Geraldine Page.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, man.
I know what I'm saying. Poor Brandon's like, you're from Texas. How do you not grow up on these movies?
My dad was Star Wars and baseball. That's what I got.
You know, I
got
to tell you, that movie, The Train Robbers, I mentioned that when we were on a break. And there is a speech that John Wayne gives Bobby Vinton, who is known as the Polish Prince, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds correct.
Yeah. And John Wayne gives him a speech about how to be a man. In that movie,
yes,
that is such a beautiful way for a guy to tell a guy how to stand up and be a man. It is incredible, and you can actually YouTube that speech.
Hondo, right? Yeah,
no, it's not.
Is that Hondo? Which one is it in?
It's in the Train Robbers.
Train Robbers, right?
Yeah, it's a very good speech, and we need to. I think a lot of people need to listen to that as often as possible.
How to be a man. I could use that. Also, we also had a Ave called but didn't want to go on the air. She wanted to say that didn't John Wayne have a great toupee? By the way, so if you go to mentalfloss.com and search for John Wayne Toupee, you'll find that of people who rocked toupees, he is listed as number three as somebody who rocked a great toupee.
Like successfully?
Yeah, I think he's successfully.
Number one?
Well, now that we're on this list of toupees, I think we should just go through the whole list.
Okay.
To the internet.
Now we know. I'll go ahead and give it to you. Yeah. We have, by the way, I would not have thought, okay, let's go all the way to the top.
Start with the words.
At number 10. No way. Ben Affleck?
Whoa, really?
No. Oh, wait, it says may or may not. A rumor began circulating a few years ago that Affleck and Vince Vaughn were wrestling around at a party, you know, like boys do sometimes. And Affleck's toupee supposedly wasn't secure and flipped back in front of several Hollywood notables. So I am not going on the record as saying that I'm saying that Ben Affleck has a toupee. If he does, it looks spectacular. And good on him. He looks great.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't look like plugs or anything.
It does not.
He's doing well.
Number 9, Jimmy Stewart started wearing a toupee in the early 1950s, but made it less obvious by making it a gray one. It wasn't uncommon for him to go without in public, though. So there you go.
Okay. It was like a hat. It was a fashion thing. Yeah. He wasn't trying to lie to anyone.
Bing Crosby wore a toupee, a hairpiece, for all of his movies, but in his later years, and you could see that later on when he was doing his Christmas specials, a little bit thinner.
Okay.
Right? He hated wearing the toupee so much he started specifically picking out roles that had him wearing hats or nightcaps. I love that. Of course, Sean Connery at number 7.
Ugh.
I thought Sean,
one of those ones that you hate to find out, like the stuff they do in real life. You know what I mean? Like, because you're just like, oh, you're Bond. Now Bond, yeah. I could go all day on too.
Right.
But, oh, like, yes. And then you find out, like, oh, you're kind of a crappy person. Ugh, that sucks.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta separate. I know.
I do. Sean Connery, the man on screen, is a different person than that awful Scottish guy who beats people all the time.
I'm getting better with couch jumping Tom Cruise and go ahead and just run off your depression.
I wish I could unwatch Minority Report so I could watch it again. He's so good. I know he's crazy, and I watched Going Clear. It doesn't look like things are going well over there, but yeah. Edge of Tomorrow, he's so good.
Sean Connery has been rocking a toupee since the 007 days. Here we go. This is something I see, and this is why I'm enjoying this. Dan, what do you want to tell us? Hi, Dan.
Well, I was just, how you doing, Patty?
Hey.
I was thinking about John Wayne in the Alamo, where he was originally going to do that movie at the original Alamo, but there was only such a small portion of it left that he completely rebuilt that. The Alamo, the way it was supposedly historically looked, and now that place is still sitting there to this day as a museum.
Where did they build it?
I'm not sure exactly where it's at, though. Whether he did it in New Mexico. There was a story on like 60 Minutes or something that were talking about how they had problems because this was an area where they were where we used to do our nuclear tests. But it is still there. You can go. You know, it sits out in the middle of nowhere, but it is the Alamo. There are two of them.
Yeah, there's. Wow. You're right. There was a part of that area where a lot of the actors who shot movies there. The woman who played. On Bewitched and Dora, I think that she made a movie with John Wayne too. I think that they suspected that a lot of them ended up getting cancer, types of cancer. Of course, John Wayne smoked non-filtered Camels most of his life.
Agnes Moorehead.
Thank you. See, this is why I love this moment. Well, I'm gonna find out where that Alamo is. Thank you, Dan. Have a great night.
Dan's right about the actual Alamo, though. It's trashed. It is so
tiny.
It's just such a commercial touristy. Ugh, it's one of the worst.
Now, I went down to San Antonio, and there was an Alamo down there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the wall, and, like, you know, there's the big front facade.
But
and
it was a fort.
Where the wall used to be.
Exactly.
But it's like a mall. It feels more like a mall than it does. Like, well, I want to walk into, like, a castle, like, you know what I mean, without stores in it.
Apparently, you can go to the movie set.
There's a mall right near the Alamo.
Yeah, it's like all one thing. Right. That's my issue with it.
Here, you guys keep talking. I'm going to take a break. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I do kind of love that we kicked off a bunch of texts from our listeners joining a conversation about John Wayne. I grew up in a John Wayne heavy household. My dad watched every John Wayne movie, quoted it. He worshipped John Wayne. And some of our here's one of our questions from a texter in the 847. What is the name of the boxer John Wayne kills in the ring in The Quiet Man? Do you remember, Kev?
No.
We can make that a question
that's
for
a great
another,
question,
another pair of tickets to see us at Zany's on Monday night.
Okay.
312-981-7200 for a pair of tickets to Zany's this Monday night for Snapshots. You'll see a bunch of comics trying out new material, doing the material that about what makes them crazy, what makes them snap. I might have a patty melt. Is it okay if I don't snap? I do a patty melt.
Nobody has to snap. The only one who snaps is me.
That's true.
It's just the name of the show, Snapshots.
It's like a portion of the show. It's a snapshot of all of our material.
Correct.
There you go.
Yeah, you don't
of
have
our personalities.
To be. But you're right about that. I have had this conversation with various other comedians because some of them felt like, well, I don't really snap. I'm not that style. And I would always say, I don't care. You don't have to snap.
Tell them it's a snapshot of their personality.
Yes.
That you're sharing with the audience.
That's I'm very intrigued to see on Monday how you define snap in front of, you know what I mean?
Oh, he snaps.
I believe you.
He asks you not to make him snap, but he will snap.
Yeah, I have full faith and credit that you do. I just want to see the specific nature in which you define that word.
Okay.
I worry about him on stage sometimes.
She does. Yes. I just lose it. I lose it. I saw, as a matter of fact, if you don't mind, if you want to indulge me for a moment.
I'll indulge you.
I saw something it wasn't too long ago. It was about a month ago. It was a guy in India who swallowed 40 knives. Swallowed 40 knives. Oh. And lived through it, and the doctors operated on it. The doctors took care of this cat. They took care of this guy. 40 knives he swallowed, and then they decided, they said, well, you know, before we release him, they want to do a psychiatric evaluation.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Now, I think so. Yeah. So, okay, so let me get to it. And then the doctors even said, well, you know, the next time you get a taste for another knife, would you please just have some spinach? Is what they said. Just have some spinach because it's got iron in the spinach, and they thought that's as close as they're going to get. And that's the doctors trying to be funny, you know. But what gets me is whenever some kind of a serious thing like this occurs, and we decide that we have to, we have to do a psychiatric evaluation because I'm baffled by this. Exactly what do you have to do to be considered full blown nuts?
Swallowing 40 knives seems like it's on the path.
Did he get paid a considerable amount of money? Was his family at gunpoint? Like, was there a significant enough impetus to where it's like, okay, you're not crazy, you're just in a dire strait?
I think that's just nuts. You know how you get a big bowl of cashews, you sit down to watch a movie or whatever it is? This guy had a big bowl of knives. What he had, big bowl of knives. And if you're one of it, he had children. He had two children. Now, if I'm this man's child, and he tries to discipline me, you know, hey, don't touch that stove. Yeah. It's hot. Hey, shut up, Dad. You ate 40 knives.
At knife 32, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I don't
feel well, but I'm 8 away from my goal.
I got my 40 knife limit.
You know? No seconds.
Yeah, really.
I'm
they
not
have
enough.
To do a psychiatric evaluation on the man. Apparently 41 is where you're nuts.
Yeah, that's the cutoff. Oh. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh.
See what we did there?
Doesn't matter how you slice it, right? Look out now.
Oh, by the way, we mentioned the incredible Mr. Limpet earlier, and then we did. And from 779, it was a pre-World War II. Oh, the movie's about pre-World War II, before Pearl Harbor. Limpet tries to find his join his friend in the Navy, but gets rejected. He eventually falls off Coney Island Pier and mysteriously becomes a fish. Of course, he does. Mm-hmm. I loved that movie when I was a kid. I don't know why.
I never saw that movie.
I loved Don Knotts. He just made me laugh.
Well, yeah, he's a brilliant performer, that guy. Mm-hmm. I used to... what did he win, like six?
Oh, I don't know about
six
Emmys. I'm sure he
did. In the 60s, and then he decided he wanted to do his movie career.
I don't remember this quote. Somebody from the 708 said, best John Wayne quote ever was an Atari when he told his coworker, that's the wrong kind of goat.
Really?
I don't know if he yells it or not. And the guy he was yelling that at was trying to milk a goat. See, because don't grab that.
I was going to say that's
you
quote,
can milk
most,
a goat.
Most guys
not a,
hear
not
that.
A boy goat. See, that's what John Wayne would have been saying. That's a wrong.
That's right. Sorry.
I usually hear that. That's a wrong kind of goat. I usually hear that quote like at every the end of every bachelor party.
Yeah. See, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's a wrong kind of goat.
Also, just want to tell you that Kevin Naughton is so funny from the 630.
Oh, hey, thanks.
There
oh, that's
go.
Probably. I want to thank my brother for calling
that
was, in.
Yeah, that was, how many brothers do you have?
I paid that guy $50. That paid off.
Yeah, I'm going broke on this show.
I've never seen North to Alaska. That's gonna be an, again another John Wayne movie. There you go.
Wow.
So,
man,
there's more. There's another movie for you to see. See Esmeralda. You can see North through Alaska, and then tell me about it since I haven't seen it. It's
man,
not happening.
None
is
of
it?
These plots for this. The Quiet Man will tell me the name of the boxer.
Yeah, I just realized that's a problem that I have. If somebody called and told me the name of the boxer, I'd be like, sure.
I can't find it. I cannot find it.
Craig, did you find the name of the boxer?
Of course, yeah, I have the name.
And did you? Do we have a winner?
Apparently, no, there is no winner yet. But the name was shown in the news article in this movie. It was also said by the main character when he was talking to the Reverend. It's a couple hints for you.
There you go, a couple hints. You
Craig
find
is
it.
Good at the internet.
And if I'm not mistaken...
he wins the internet!
Yeah, that's really impressive. The Reverend was the... the Irishman, right?
Right, Fitzgerald?
I don't know.
Barry Fitzgerald, I believe, plays
okay.
the... One's the priest and one's the Reverend, right? Because there's a Presbyterian, or at least the there's a Protestant and a Catholic in the movie. There's one of each in The Quiet Man.
Okay.
It's true. True story.
All right.
Why are you looking at me like I'm crazy? It's true. Do you want me to read you the synopsis of the clergy in the movie?
Well, sure. It's your show.
No, I'm not going to do that. We didn't even get to our topics tonight.
What were they?
One was about double dipping when you're, you know, at a buffet type situation or like you've got dips and things like that.
Just turn the chip around.
What is it? Oh, I mean, yes, you should definitely not use it by part that you bit into. But how unsanitary is it when someone double dips? And Lee answered that for you. Very. Unsanitary. A lot of bacteria, including things like staph infection.
That stuff makes you stronger, though.
Well,
build up your immunity.
Absolutely.
Could, but if you're talking about flipping the chip over, you're still fingering the chip.
Well,
if you know what I'm saying.
I mean, if you're sharing like dip or touched foods, like I mean, everybody reaches their hand into the chip bowl. You know what I mean? Like, oh, the party mix. I don't want any of these raisins, but I'm going to get all the M&Ms. Well, now everyone's sharing everything I've ever touched. I just feel like you have to go in mentally blind to it. You know, just don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this world's in the shape
yep,
it's in.
Absolutely.
Mississippi.
Well done with that. Okay. Well, that was one of the topics we were supposed to do. We had a whole rundown. This is like, I feel like we've gone back to what we meant to get to segments, but we had a lot of other things we were supposed to talk about tonight. There was also a company that's starting this sort of an app that lets you know when a restaurant that has a buffet will let you come in and just fill like trays for like a couple bucks so that they're not throwing away all that food. And just take all the rest of their buffet food.
Whoa. Now that is a good idea.
Is your mind blown?
Buffets hurt me because for every bite you take, you're getting more value out of your dollar. And so as a frugal man, I will make myself sick at a buffet thinking, ha ha, I've played the system. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just, you're just sick. Like, yeah. Bad answer to that. I have no self-control when it comes to food. I can't go.
Really?
Yeah. If it's in front of me, I'll eat it.
Oh,
okay. I not keep a lot of groceries because I'll eat too much.
And you have a high metabolism, or how do you?
Yeah, you look great. That's
well, thank you, everyone. I was actually very large for most of my life. Yeah. Up until like 23, 24, I was 250, 260.
What?
Mm-hmm. That's very true. My high school picture, I was a defensive end in high school.
Wow. Now, how did this happen?
You know, I just started trying a little bit. I moved to West Texas originally and just didn't have any money. I ate two cans of Beanie Weenies a day. We actually lived across, Lake Cisco, which was where I worked on the other side of the lake. So we would swim, me and the other guys would swim across the lake. It was about a 0.7 mile swim. And so just like a year and a half of living out there and just working and not being around any sort of junk food or any money that you could buy food with, that kind of happened. And then I very slightly work out to keep it off that way.
Okay.
The poverty diet works.
Yeah, you can't help it. If you don't have money for food, then you're going to lose some weight.
Water, man. Just drink water till you feel full.
Mm-hmm.
That works.
Yeah. I don't particularly have a super high metabolism, I don't think. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, you're young, too. That just keep track
of that. So youthful and beautiful. Come see me every Friday and Saturday.
Another story we didn't get to this week, Esmeralda, I don't know if you want to chime in on this. I don't know if the guys will, but how often do you actually need to wash your bra was a story I didn't get a chance to get to.
More than I probably do.
I think more than most women do. We just like... It's hard to take your favorite out of rotation, isn't it?
I don't have many either because I hate shopping for bras. So the ones that I got, I'm like, I got them, and I'm going to wear them.
Ladies, I'd like to offer you, I'll go shopping
a service,
for bras
anytime. I think a bra washing service is actually
a bra washing service. This going on while there's a man outside of our windows right now with a giant squeegee. This is beautiful.
And it gets funky. Have you ever, like, watched Yes. Your bra get washed? Well, I was like, oh, gross.
I actually have a dedicated bra bowl.
A bowl?
Oh, bowl. It's like a one of those like metal like but enameled bowls. I have it under my sink in the bathroom.
That you just keep them in?
It's the one that I wash my bra in.
Yeah. Oh, you hand wash this?
I hand wash.
I got my Panda machine.
What?
Remember the?
Thank you.
Remember I was.
This
I have
requires
that
an
machine.
Explanation.
I have that little machine that washes clothes.
I'm sorry, but like it was
like
so
called a Panda.
I have that Panda machine.
Remember, I talked about it once. It's a little machine. So I watch it. It's kind of like getting hand washed in there. It's
yeah,
not that strong.
Right, it's not aggressive.
Right.
And you have to do it with cold water because it's better for the elastic. You don't want to warm
sure.
water will make the elastic stretch. Or at least not won't help it rebound.
Well, that's okay. Amazing. Cold water does that for the bra and cold water does that for the breast.
this isn't as bad as I thought, Esmeralda. While there are no steadfast rules, you should ideally be washing your bra every 2 to 3 wears.
So does
ice. Oh no, that's I can't.
Yeah. Ice does a good job for the breast.
That seems like it too often. I'm not
too much.
I'm not doing it.
Ice.
I did meet a girl and I don't want to say where that it had been she just never washed her bras.
It's
first layer, right? You know what I mean? Like
it's against your skin, though.
Yeah,
I mean, like that's a lot of
people sweat from their armpits significantly, and I feel like it makes sense that you would wash it.
And under and between.
I'm not judging
over.
You. You do what you think is best.
It gets kind of gross too, like with deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a little grimy. Yeah.
It's 2016. You don't really need them anymore.
In fact, the average person produces a liter of sweat, 40 grams of sebum. Sebum?
Sebum.
Oh, yeah.
10 grams or 2 billion skin cells and 10 grams of salt per day.
Okay.
And even more than this when you are working out. All this gets transferred to your clothes. Yes, Chris?
Well, I was thinking it would be great if all of our female listeners would like to come topless or braless, I'm sorry, braless to the show Monday night, we could avoid that problem.
That's also a lesser-known Irish holiday, Aaron Go Braless.
Thank you.
Come on, who was no.
Nobody else
tonight.
No.
Puns.
See, I can't deal, though, with those go braless. Like, no.
No.
Man, you do not. No.
Right,
I
understand. It's painful from what I understand. It's uncomfortable.
I sway.
It looks weird.
Yeah.
Clothes look so much better with a bra.
Yeah, my clothes don't hang right.
I feel like
ladies,
no one should feel like they have
opinion.
To. I absolutely, it's not my call, and everyone should do everything that they want to do, but I think that's the point, is if you want to, do it, and if you don't want to, don't do it. And I feel like maybe 30 years ago you couldn't say that as much. So bra or no bra, just be you, Esmeralda. Just be you.
I once went to 7th grade with no bra, and that's the last time I was in public with no bra. More after this on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good.
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's now Thursday morning. Tell me something good. 312-981-7200 if you have something good to tell us. Brandon C. Price, do you have something good to tell us?
I'm sitting on the one I said last week, too. I'm still not smoking. It has been 6 months.
Congratulations. And what's your tally for amount you've saved? Do you know?
It's all spent. It doesn't matter.
Technically,
it's supposed to be in Chicago prices over like $2,300 now, but I don't have that money, so
it's gone.
But I didn't spend it on cigarettes. Probably caffeine and junk food to make up for the fact that I don't have any cigarettes.
It's gone elsewhere. It's gone to places, to another places.
I tell you what, I just started this job. We're subcontracting. We're actually building out this restaurant on Grace and Clark right now. It's a really cool smokehouse. But everybody smokes, and like every hour and a half they get to take a break. And I just sit and I just smell
them.
Yeah, but you know something? Let me cement this in your head. There's 4,300 chemicals in every cigarette.
Do you know how delicious each one is?
And yeah. And well, my question, just like you, my question is, who counted? 4,300?
Well, Kevin, somebody had to put them in.
I know.
What else can we get in there?
What else you got? Formaldehyde? Do it!
Butane.
I know.
Put it in there.
Man. Well, it's got to be combustible. You can't just burn leaves. Oh, wait a minute. I think you can. You know, I found out there's a new...
Easy.
I found out something something that makes me happy that I think is good. There's a new dispensary, medical marijuana cannabis...
In Andersonville?
In Jefferson Park.
Oh, there's more than one?
There's a Columbia... I believe it's called... Do you want to know where mine is? I don't go there, but I just like to know that there more people are getting access to something that I think will really help them. Mm-hmm. The state of Illinois has expanded the number of ailments, the number of things you're being treated for that qualify for medical marijuana.
Do you just roll into a primary care physician and say, I have this and this and this?
You have to have a doctor. You have to have a diagnosis from a physician.
Okay.
You also have to have the prescription then, and then you need to apply for your medical marijuana card. Or if you are a caregiver for a patient who is been diagnosed, whether it's epilepsy or dystonia, PTSD has now been added to the list.
Wow.
Is it cheaper than, say, getting it on the street? Hypothetically, anyone's only impulse, really. Why go through
all
that?
Well, it depends on what you're buying on the street, because they obviously have medical grade, right? So they have ones, the Astevia.
Sativa and indica is what I think
yes.
I've heard
Thank
them
you.
Called.
You're the second person that told me that, and I don't know any of these things. Astevia and so let's say you are helping somebody out who is making those decisions, and they want to use a vape, and they get one of each. Mm-hmm. That adds up to about a gram, might be about $130.
Wait. I don't know, so I wouldn't know. I have questions about that, I think, but I don't know.
So that's I have friends who are dealing with medical marijuana, and okay. And it's helping them tremendously
yeah.
through anxiety, through pain,
yeah.
through sleeplessness, and this is something that's important, and I'm glad the state of Illinois is finally coming through on that.
Yeah. I have a friend, Rita is her name, and she was a professional boxer, and because she got really injured at the Aragon Ballroom
Aww.
Right after one of her fights, she had some brain damage. Now, luckily, the doctors, she got rushed to the hospital and taken care of, and now she smokes that with regularity.
And it's helping her?
Oh, yeah, and she gets really good stuff.
That's the good stuff.
You know, I think it's a combination of street stuff and medical stuff, and she puts them together.
She finds the balance.
Every now
and then.
The
best is when you find the good stuff on the street.
That's true, too.